Folks, if you have a Bible, we're going to read a couple of wee passages from Jeremiah. The first four verses of Jeremiah chapter 4, and then a couple of verses in Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 1, page 630 of your Bible. If you return, O Israel, declares the Lord, to me you should return. If you remove your detestable things from my presence and do not waver, if you swear as the Lord lives, in truth, in justice, and in righteousness, the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Remove the foreskin of your heart, O men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my wrath go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it because of the evil of your deeds. And turning over to Jeremiah chapter 6, and just two verses, verses 16 and 17. Thus saith the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk in it. I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. Amen, and we trust the Lord. Well, bless his word. We'll have a wee prayer together, folks. Father, as we just bow before you this morning, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we're reminded that your word is life. And Lord, I pray this morning as we would consider it together that you would come and you would speak to us through it. Father, you know how much we need you. Lord, this is your word. And I pray that you would take it and you would, Lord, place it deep into each of our hearts. Lord, just bless us and be with us in these moments together, we pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, the history or the background to the book of Jeremiah is very interesting. At the time that God had called Jeremiah to be a prophet, the nation of Israel was in decline. Under the leadership of a man called Josiah, who sought with all his heart to follow the Lord, who sought to reform the nation of Israel, who sought to be an influence for good, yet the nation had departed and turned away from God. Jeremiah was a man whom God called to bring his word to a people that had rebelled against him. Jeremiah was called to be a light in the midst of the darkness. And through the early chapters of the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah had pleaded. He had reminded the people in chapters 1 of their unfaithfulness, in chapters 2 and 3 of their necessity to repent. Chapters 4, that disaster was coming. Chapter 5 reminds us of the unwillingness of Israel to repent of their sins and return to God. And in chapter 6, we get to the point where God has rejected his people Israel. And folks, we read there in verses, chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, and even in the early part of chapter 4. And through Jeremiah we see something of the heart of God. If you read it, you can see that God has a longing in his heart for these people to return. This was the apple of his eye. This was the nation that God chose above all others. And he had a longing in his heart for people to repent of their sins and return to him and find in him the rest and the blessings that he had promised. And folks, the heart of God has not changed. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as we meet here today, God's heart is still the same. And I want us to notice today a few things from those two verses we read in Jeremiah chapter 6 that give us a wee insight into the heart and into the desire and into the longing of God here for his people. There's four wee things I want us to notice. And the first thing is found in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16 as a request that God makes of his people. Now, folks, it's very simple. Jeremiah, under God, says, go and stand at the roadside and look around you. And folks, what Jeremiah was calling these people to do was to consider their ways. And you can get the picture. As you drive through the village, or if you go anywhere, you will find people sitting at the side of the road, maybe sometimes an older generation, observing all the things that's going on. Pay attention to the things that are passing by. And God calls his people simply to go to the roadsides and to look around them and to consider what was going on. And folks, at this time in the nation of Israel, there was sin, there was lawlessness. There was a nation that had turned its back upon God. They were worshipping idols that were false. And they had rebelled against the ways that God had laid out for them. And you know, folks, as I look around me today and as you look around you today, we live in a nation that is similar to what Israel was like in the days that we read of here. A nation that has turned its back upon God. I was reading a few statistics this week. There is approximately 200,000 abortions in the UK per year. That's roughly one every 3 minutes. 32% of marriages now end up in divorce. There's 86,000 people in prison in the UK at the moment. Folks, we have a nation that has rejected God, a nation that has rejected God's word, a nation that has turned away from the principles that God has laid out for it. God says today that we're to consider our ways and to consider the nation that we find ourselves in. Folks, the second wee thing that God calls Jeremiah to do, or Jeremiah to call these people to do, he says there in verse 16, go to the roadsides. Wait, I'll see if I can find it. I'm on the wrong page. Stand by the roadsides and look and ask for the ancient paths and where the good way is. And folks, I want us to think for a few moments about the relevance of the way that God wanted for his people. The relevance of God's way is described here as the ancient path and the good way. And folks, the reality is that God's way is timeless. What he was getting at here for these people was that to look back to the time that God had spoken to Abraham, to the time that God had spoken to Jacob and to Isaac. In other words, to look back to the time that God had revealed himself, the time that God had promised blessing to the nation of Israel. Folks, God's way hasn't changed. We live in a society that has modernized, a time when things move at a tremendous pace. But God's way is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the path to God is still the same. Folks, I want us to notice three wee things or four things about the relevance of God's way in today's society, or the relevance of God's way for you and I as individuals and as Christians. Firstly, there has to be a biblical obedience. If you read Deuteronomy, where God comes and he gives his law to Moses and to the children of Israel, he calls the people to obey him. He calls the people to be obedient to his word. to do what God says. And folks, for you and I to live God's way, there has to be biblical obedience in our life. And folks, this book is timeless. It doesn't change. So often we read the Bible and we look at things that we maybe don't understand. But folks, there's many things in the Bible that we do understand. The problem is that we don't do them. Folks, God's way, God's word is timeless. Do we cherish God's word? Do we really? Do we go to the Bible as our first? Whenever things are unsure, whenever we don't know what the way ahead is, do we lift our Bible and do we seek God's guidance? I can remember my father telling me a wee story about two old people who lived over on the road behind us, and away back when tractors were first invented, they had bought a new Gray Ferguson. And whenever you bought one, you get a wee book with it, a manual that told you how to use it, how to fix it. And George was out in the field and he wasn't maybe paying attention as he should, and he went out over the edge and he stuck it in the shock. And Dorothy shouts, "George, go for the book." Folks, sometimes we don't go for the book when we ought to. When we rise in the morning, we'll check our emails and we'll check our messages. When we rise in the morning, we'll go and get the paper. When we rise in the morning, we'll do 100 different things and we don't go for the book. Because it's in the book that we find the Word of God. And folks, we can't obey it if we don't know it. There ought to be biblical obedience because that's God's way. Folks, the second wee thing is there ought to be a single-minded love for the Lord. Go back into Deuteronomy again, and when God spoke to his people, he says, "Obey me," and he says, "Love me with all of your heart." In John chapter 1, Peter had failed the Lord. He had denied him 3 times. And the Lord comes to him by the side of the lake. And the first thing he says to him, he says, "Peter, do you love me?" He didn't say, "Peter, I know you have let me down," although he did know all that. He says, "Peter, do you love me?" And folks, as Christians, God's way is a way of single-minded love for him. Folks, you know, he's all that we need in life. There's nothing else we need more in life. He's the one who put the stars in the sky. He's the one who measured out the seas in his hand. He's the one who's the high tower. He's the one who is our deliverer. He's the one who is our cornerstone. He's the light of the world. He's the hope of the world. He's the lily of the valley. Folks, he's everything we need. And we ought to love him with all of our hearts. I want to ask you today, do you? Folks, today there are many people who find nothing attractive in Jesus Christ. They don't see in him anything that would attract them. They're satisfied with the things of the world, but they don't behold the beauty of Christ, the one who is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the one who alone can save your soul, the one who alone can take you through this life and into the great eternity. Folks, do we love him today with a single-minded love? There's biblical obedience, single-minded love. But folks, the third thing the Lord called us people to be were to be those who would persistently pray. And folks, this is the great failure. We're on the verge of a week of prayer. And if we're honest, This is the great failure of many of us as Christians. We fail to pray. We have lost a sense of the value of what prayer is. We have lost the wonder of seeking the face of God. Folks, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about Moses. Moses prayed, and the Red Sea parted. He prayed, and the sun stood still in the sky. Elijah prayed, and the fire fell from heaven. Hezekiah prayed, and the angel of the Lord swept through the camp of the enemy, and 180,000 were slain in one night. The soldiers, as they slept in their tent, the general, as he made his plans, the sentry, as he stood at his post, because Hezekiah prayed, Daniel prayed, and the Lord shut the mouths of the lions. Jonah prayed, and the whale vomited him up in dry land. Folks, we need to pray. So often we talk about it. And I'm not standing up here today as someone who's better, because I have failed so often in this regard. We need to pray. Have we lost the value and the wonder and the worth of what it is to come before God? Folks, prayer opens the windows of heaven. Prayer looses the shackles of sin. Prayer opens the doors of the prison. Prayer makes a difference, because our God is able. God knows the end from the beginning. He's almighty, he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, he's all-wise. And folks, we need to seek him and ask him to move and to bless. There ought to be persistent prayer in the life of the Christian. Our God is the God of the supernatural. Folks, sometimes we have God in a nice wee box, but our God's not like that. And we need to pray that God would come and reveal himself and do something and move in our church. Folks, the fourth wee thing and the old path and the good way is that it's the way of God's promised blessing. God has always promised to bless his people. Unfortunately, today many think that for God to bless his people, it has to be financial. Folks, that is not the case. That's a lie that comes from a church scattered through America. God promises to bless his people. He promised to bless Abraham. He promised to bless Isaac and Jacob. He promised to bless his people. And folks, blessing from God is primarily to know the reality and the peace and the assurance of God in your heart as you go through life. And folks, there's nothing greater than to know that. The wee hymn says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. It's that reality, it's that assurance that you need and that I need. And it's that that God promises to give us if we live in obedience to him. Folks, that's the good old path that God talks about. It's the pathway of biblical obedience. It's the pathway of single-minded love. It's the pathway of persistent prayer. And it's the pathway of promised blessing. Folks, the third wee thing I want us to think about today is the reality of the promise that God gives to his people. He says that stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient path where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your soul. Folks, the primary objective of God's way is that we might know rest in our souls. That's the primary objective of God's way, that you and I might know rest in our souls. And folks, I want to ask you today, do you have it? Do you have it? As you look at life, as you look at tomorrow, as you look at the future, do you have that rest, that peace, that assurance in your heart and in your soul? Folks, it can be a reality that whenever disappointment comes, or anxiety, or worry, or stress, or fear, or tears, or heartbreak, or tragedy, or sorrow, if and when all of these things come, do you know the reality of what God talks of here in this verse? That we might know rest and peace within our souls. Folks, I look around me and I see so many people trying in some way on their own merits and their own efforts to get to heaven. And folks, if you look at the Bible says that there's only one way. And you can never know rest or peace in your soul if you're trying to get to heaven in a way that is of your own making. It comes only as we yield in obedience to Christ. Because this is the way. This has always been the way. It will always be the way. Rest in the soul comes as we go God's way. You know, Job was able to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Folks, that's because he knew the reality of God in his life. That he knew the rest and the peace and the assurance that comes from being in the hand of God. Folks, today, do you have it? Do you have it? Do you know what it is to be at peace with God? Or are you somehow trying to work your way to God? Somehow trying to be good enough, trying to give enough, trying to work enough, and yet always falling short? Folks, rest for the soul comes through the promise of God as we come to him in his way and on his terms. There's a wee hymn, an old hymn, and it says, my heart is pained, nor can it be at rest till it finds rest in thee. Folks, I trust today that you would know that rest, the reality of that rest in your life. It would be your hope and your stay as you face tomorrow. The reality of God's promise. But folks, the last wee thing I want us to think about in this verse is the rejection of God's offer. God comes to these people and he tells them what they can have. But it says, and they said, we will not walk in it. And he says, I have set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. We will not walk in God's way, and we will not listen or pay attention to God's word. Folks, if you read on through the book of Jeremiah, within 20 years, the Babylonians had swept through the nation of Israel, carried them into captivity, because they failed to pay attention to the warning and to the ways of God. And folks, to me, the word tragedy is written all over this. A people who had everything, a people who knew the blessings of God, a people who was given the commandments, a people who saw the oracles of God, and yet they missed it. You know, sometimes we look at people in life and we say they had been given everything, and yet they threw it all away. Folks, this was a nation that had been given everything and they threw it all away because they rejected God's message and God's offer. Folks, I wonder today, is there anyone here who have been given everything and yet they've thrown it away? There has been a watchman in this pulpit for as long as any of you can remember, who faithfully sounded out God's word. Some you may have enjoyed their preaching more than others. But folks, is the reality that the message has been sounded from this pulpit faithfully for as long as any of you have been here? The watchman has been faithful. And folks, I wonder today, could tragedy be written across some of your lives because you missed out? You failed to listen to the warning and you rejected God's offer of mercy and salvation. Folks, you know life, the further you go on in life, the more the reality of how short it really is becomes. God said in his word that my spirit will not always strive with man. Folks, we have been given opportunity after opportunity. We have been given a heritage that is good. We have been faithfully warned from God's word. And I wonder today, are you still rejecting God's offer of mercy? Folks, you know the wonderful thing about it is that this nation, God warned them for years, for generations, that judgment was coming. He pleaded with them because he's a God of love, a God who is not willing that any should perish. But yet he is a God of justice, a God who will one day draw a line in the sand and say, that's enough. Folks, don't leave it too late. Don't miss out on what God has for you. He says, I have come that you might have life. Folks, there is no life outside of Jesus Christ. Whatever you think it is, it's not real life. Because real life only comes as we come to know him. And that's the heart of God for each of us today, that we would know this real life. And folks, that comes as we come to him and we bow at the foot of the cross. God's way is timeless. It's still the same good old way, folks. It hasn't changed. I trust today that you'll come, just as you are. You'll bow before him and you'll give him everything. And folks, this morning as God's people, we have a great opportunity to follow him and to serve him. Do we believe in the power of prayer? Well, let it be seen this week as we come together to ask and to plead for God to move and to save precious souls. We'll just pray together. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are patient and long-suffering with us, not willing that any should perish. Lord, we just thank you for that verse that we're reminded of even at the beginning, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Lord, we need to trust you. Father, I just pray this morning that you would take your word and you would, Lord, place it deep into each of our hearts. Lord, as we sit here this morning, you know all about us. And you know what we're going through in life. And Lord, I pray that you will come and make your presence real. And just bless us and be with us today. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.